Shasky Seitze. The third reading. We're going to take it from the top today. As I mentioned yesterday, like it's like every pasuk or two. It's a whole thing unto itself. So there's this concept, which in today's Torah portion is just one pasuk, and it opens the third reading. The Torah says, Ki sivne bayit chodosh. When you build a new home, and you make or fashion a parapet, a fence for the roof. The Torah says, and you will not place bloodshed in your home, because the fallen one would fall from it. So the first thing that's of interest is the cadence of these verses. Because every two verses is like a whole new idea. So Rashi says, Ki sivne bayis chadosh, what is the connection of this idea, the mitzvah of the parapet, to what we just read about before, which is the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird? Rashi says, Im kiyamta mitzvah shiluach hakein, if you fulfill the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird before you take the offspring of the eggs, then you'll have the privilege of building a new home. And then when you have a new home, you can fulfill the mitzvah of the parapet. That is to say, there are some mitzvahs which are chiyuvius, there are mitzvahs which are obligatory, mitzvahs that we have responsibility to pursue, to be lirdif achareihem. If you don't have the mitzvah, you have to find the mitzvah. A person cannot say, should I have a pair of tefillin? I'll put on tefillin then. Should I happen to have a shofar in my hands? All right, I'll listen to the shofar then. Can't say that. You have a responsibility to make sure to do these things. Can say, if there happens to be Shabbos candles on the table on Friday night, I've got light Shabbos candles. Then you have to set it here. You have to make that happen. That's a mitzvah. It's chiyuvius. And then there are mitzvahs which are circumstantial. An extreme example is that, should you want to eat meat, then you have to go and shecht. You have to do a ritual slaughter. What if I don't want to eat meat? Don't eat meat. Nobody's making you eat meat. In other words, it's a mitzvah. You do make a bracha, but that's only when a person elects to do it. Should a person not want to live in a house? Should a person want to be homeless, live in a refrigerator box? He's not going to do the mitzvah mezuzah. It's a strange way to live, true, but you can't say a person's obligated to live in a house. So too, the mitzvah of Micah, the mitzvah of the parapet, it's a mitzvah that none of us actually fulfill. Because nobody uses our roofs. Our roofs are all sloped. Our roofs are not used as a rule here in Canada. Because, amongst other things, for a large portion of the year, they'd just be full of snow and ice anyway. But in parts of the world where they don't have so much inclement weather, so a lot of times there are rooftops that are used. And the rooftops that are used necessarily require safety features, a parapet. So the point here is, you may not fulfill this mitzvah. Who says you'll have a new house? Rashi tells us the Torah is trying to convey to us a message. The reason that it placed these mitzvahs in succession, one after the other, where they seem to be random and have no connection whatsoever, Torah says there is a connection. And here is the rule. Shemitzvah geireres mitzvah. One mitzvah brings another mitzvah in its train. This is misunderstood by many people as thinking that if you do a mitzvah, you automatically get another mitzvah. But if a mitzvah is automatic, it's not a mitzvah at all. Because a mitzvah has to be a choice we make. Mitzvahs are not reflexes. If your knee moves forward because somebody hit your meniscus, that's not called a choice you made. That's a reflex. Mitzvahs do not happen by themselves. Mitzvahs are the result of choices made. And, incidentally, since we're talking about choices, the choices that are harder, that makes it a bigger mitzvah. As the Mishnah tells us, Lefum tzara agra. According to the pain, comes the gain. And so, Yosha v'le avar aveda, if a person sat put and didn't do a sin, so mekabel schark, he lost a mitzvah. He gets rewarded, as if he did a mitzvah. What if it's the kind of thing that I have absolutely no desire to do, you don't get that much reward. You don't get that much credit. Of course, there's always the aveda, Al chet shechatanu b'yetzahara, we say. on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. When we say Al Chet, we say the sin that we did with the Yetzirah. What do you mean? You did every sin with the Yetzirah. That's what gets you to sin. So the answer is, there are some sins even the Yetzirah wasn't interested in. He made the Yetzirah interested. He incited the Yetzirah. Right? It's like, that's the worst kind of sin. You didn't even desire this. You didn't even want it. Why'd you have to acquire this taste? So we have this idea that if it's a sin, it's a choice we made. And if we get credit, it's because we had the ability, the inner strength, and we made the choice to restrain ourselves. And therefore, if somebody has a taiva or a lust or a craving or desire for a particular form of any kind of behavior which the Torah says is unhealthy, and they restrain themselves, then they're a tzaddik. And they get an amazing reward because they restrain themselves. And they say, well, it's not fair. Somebody else doesn't have this desire. Yeah. Somebody else doesn't have the opportunity to make kadesh shem shamayim as you do. Everybody has their test. We all have our weakness. We all have our issues. So whatever your issue is, you have to know what your issue is. And you have to know that a mitzvah is the result of a choice you make. So what does it mean, mitzvah gereres mitzvah? It means, simply stated, that the mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, Hashem gives you more opportunities to do other mitzvahs. You didn't build a house and automatically have a parapet. You built a house, now you had a choice to make. Will I place a parapet? Will I make that fence? Before I didn't have the house, I couldn't even make that choice. So mitzvah gereres mitzvah does not mean, chas v'shalom, foolishly, one mitzvah brings a mitzvah. Mitzvah brings a mitzvah opportunity. You did a mitzvah, you made the right choice, Hashem will give you another opportunity to make the right choice. And there's no guarantee that you'll make the right choice a second time. It's a statistical fact that when you throw a coin up in the air, heads or tails, that there's no greater chance of it being heads or tails the fifth time, the sixth time, the tenth time. A person will say, after five times heads, for sure now there's a greater probability of tails. But it's actually not true. Every time you throw it up, it's the same exact 50-50. It doesn't, because one flip of a coin doesn't influence the next flip of a coin. One mitzvah doesn't necessarily influence the other mitzvah. Although, when we do mitzvahs, we become more robust spiritually, so hopefully we'll have more strength, more koyach. But the choice is a choice. Every time we make that choice, we get credit for making that choice. And that's the point here. You didn't get the parapet, but you got the roof. And now you had the choice, should I, or chas v'shalom, should I not? V'tagia, and then this will bring you to the mitzvahs that come afterwards. L'kerem, to a vineyard. And there are mitzvahs to be done there. V'sada, it'll bring you into a field. More mitzvahs. U'levgadim noyim, and to more beautiful clothes, which will give you an opportunity to make a decision. Fringes or not. Tzitzis, will I be placing, or will I ignore that mitzvah? L'kach nismuchu parshias halalu. Rashi says, that's why these Torah portions I'll follow one another in quick succession. And as I mentioned, every few verses, or every verse, is a whole other story. But they're strung together to indicate to us that mitzvah choices we make, will necessarily bring us new opportunities to make new choices. Okay, let's talk about the mitzvah itself. So what is the mitzvah? It just says you build a new house. That's nice. I'm delighted that Hashem gave me the opportunity to build a new house. What am I supposed to do? So he says, V'asiso Micah, you should make a Micah. What is a Micah? It says, Rashi, Goder, it's a fence, a parapet. Saviv Lagag, it's a fence that encircles the circumference of the roof. And the reason that we have this Micah is obviously so somebody shouldn't fall off the roof. V'unculus tear game, Unculus renders it Tiyoko. He doesn't say a Geder, or in Aramaic, a Gedera, which would mean a fence. Instead, he says a tiyoka. Why is that? He says kegoin, that's for example, it's like a tick. The word tiyoka is more than just a fence. It's a protective circumference. It comes from the terminology of what you would call a vessel. As if you have a case that you place something in. That you put something in a tick, you put it in a protective case. Shemishamer masher b'teichei. That the protective case serves to protect what's inside it. The point here of tiyoka is that it should be a protective encircling. In English, we call that a parapet. Ki yipol hanoifel. That's a strange pasuk. It says, because the fallen one falls. Well, if he didn't fall yet, he's not a fallen one. And if he fell already, then, well, then he fell already. So what's the point of having this strange expression, yipol ha-neifel? So Rashi says, it doesn't mean he fell already. Roi zel yipol. He's going to fall. This is a person who's probably, he's likely to fall. And furthermore, it doesn't just mean that he's likely to fall, but if it was decreed from heaven that this person shall fall, he will fall. He is going to be a neifel. Well, if he's going to be a neifel, what do you want from me? So Rashi says, even though the Torah calls him a neifel, and he is destined to be fallen, nonetheless, ba'afal pikein, despite the fact that he will become harmed, or injured, or even he'll die, loy sigalgo misasi al yadcha. Don't let it happen through you. You do have a choice to make. It's true that Hashem decides everybody's destiny. And if somebody's destiny to fall off a roof, they'll fall off a roof by a hook or by a crook, whether you put a fence or not, or whether in your roof or somebody else's roof, that's fine. That doesn't exonerate you. If it was meant to fall off, I'll fall off. I can't be responsible. I can't fight God. God's not asking you to fight him. God's asking you to do your part. You need to be sure your roof is safe. If he's destined to fall, let it not be on your watch. Let it not be on your nickel, so to speak. Here, we have something phenomenal. Another rule, important rule in life. Merits come towards those who are meritorious. And demerits come to people who are left wanting. So when you elected not to make sure your property is safe, when you didn't follow the mitzvah that Hashem gave you, and you ignored the responsibility you have, that makes you a chayev. That makes you left wanting before Hashem. When you're left wanting before Hashem, then something, a circumstance of demerit, a circumstance, a negative and bad situation will come your way. But you attracted that energy by being negative to begin with. So therefore, we have to always try to be meritorious. We have to bring merit to others, be meritorious ourselves. We have to be meritorious. And as long as we're going to be meritorious, then merits will come through our hands. And this is our hope, always, that Hashem should enable, or should arrange, that Megalgalin, he should work it out, that it comes somehow to in our lap, into our lot, that we should be the ones through whom good things happen. And that's how you become good. You become good when you perform a mitzvah. So with regard to this business of one mitzvah bringing another in its stead, and how one opportunity always follows as another opportunity, so the Baal HaTurim points out something very interesting. The very last words of the second reading of Parshas Ki Tsetse are L'man Yitav Lach, so that it'll be good for you, V'ha'arachta Yomim, and you'll have length of days. So the Baal HaTurim says, if you build a parapet, so what happens is, you make sure people's days are lengthened. If you make sure people's days are lengthened, your days will be lengthened. Make sure that things are safe for others, Hashem will make sure things are safe for you. So Hashem treats us the way we treat others. And therefore, the words V'harachta Yomim speak of long days or living out one's life. We have a responsibility to make sure that people can live out their lives. The Asiso Micah, you have to make this Micah. And then it says, V'lisosin Domin, and you shall not place blood B'veisech on your home. That is to say, so if I didn't have a parapet and somebody fell off my roof, did I harm him? Did I push him off the roof? I placed blood in the house. He's an idiot. Who asked him to dance on the edge of the roof after having one shot too many? It's my problem. I could have been safer. I could have made our property safe. But I didn't lay sus and dumb in. I placed blood. I didn't place any blood. I created a circumstance where things weren't as safe as they should be. There weren't as many precautions taken. So the Sephardim says, guess what, my friend? When something bad like that happens, and even if you're not the cause of it, but you could have done something to prevent it, mm-hmm. It's as if you did it. That's called lisos and damen. You could have prevented this. You could have. You didn't. It's as if you caused it. That's pretty sobering. So this is the idea of the parapet and of the safety and security. We're responsible for providing for others. And now, for the latter half of this class, it'll take you in a totally different direction. Away from physical safety and security, we're going to open the Biurim book, and we are going to perform a little parapet pedagogy here, in which we'll learn a lesson for life about one of the most important things we can do as members of Am Yisrael, one of the singular most important things we can do, and it has to be done right. So let's begin with a quote from the Shalah.
Page
Yutes. Simen Yudalot. The great Shnei Luch Zabris says the following. The Asisa Micah, you should make a parapet, a fence, ligagecha, for your roof. He says, Matsasi Remes, I found an illusion. This alludes to a different idea. Because a gag, he says, hu gavaya. If it's a roof, it's necessary that it's a high place. Roofs are high places. We're not talking about a low place. Truth be told, that it's required for us to take safety precautions when there's a hole in the ground too. One could argue, and I think correctly, that you need to have a fence around the swimming pool. God forbid, if there's no swimming pool fence, terrible stories. Things could happen. Achman al-San, children could fall in. But that's not the mitzvah the way the Torah puts it here. It's a different kind of expression of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is your property should be safe. You shouldn't leave rusty nails around. You shouldn't have broken glass. There shouldn't be windows which are not secure. All kind of things shouldn't be to make sure to take care of people's safety. But specifically, the Torah chose to speak about the gag. The Torah chose to speak about a roof. And a roof is a high place. Gag hu gavaya. It's high. Otherwise, not a roof. The remez, and the allusion here, this hints to sheyase gvul legavas, that person has to fence in their sense of pride and sense of happiness at their own self-achievement. What's called gaiva. It's called pridefulness or even arrogance. The imlav, if you don't rein in your own pridefulness, misham ti nefilase, then that will be where your fall comes from. How interesting. Torah idea. You all know the famous English expression, pride cometh before the fall. I think it's attributed to Shakespeare, something like that. But it's right here. The Shalah says, this is what the Torah is saying. The Torah says, Ki sivne bayis chadash, that when you have to make a michael ligagecha, you have to fence in, rein in the notion of pridefulness. Because if not, from there will come the fall. Ki yipol ha-nefel mimenu. Because the fall will come from there. So this is, from the Shalah's perspective, the Torah telling you to fence in your own pridefulness so that you don't fall. It's an important message. A lesson for life. Don't be too impressed with yourself. Don't be patting yourself on the back all the time. Don't be filled with pride at your activities, at your accomplishments, at your achievements. Okay. The Rebbe takes this idea of the Shalah in a whole new direction. What is the single most important thing every one of us as a Jew has to perform, especially in today's day and age? What's the single most important thing?
Grace.
To be a source of influence. Mm-hmm. Our mitzvah is v'shinantam levanecha, to teach Torah to others. I cannot tell you this is always the focus, but for sure in our day and age, the Rebbe made it our primary focus. We have a responsibility, first to our families, to our circle of friends, and to the broader world. We have to live with a sense of destiny. We cannot simply take care of ourselves. We cannot simply go through life ensuring that we ourselves are fulfilling Hashem's mitzvahs or getting our ticket to heaven. We have a responsibility to do for others. As the Friedrich Rebbe said when he first came to these shores, he said, everybody's a teacher. If you know an Aleph, teach Aleph. You know Aleph and Beis, then you can teach Aleph Beis. You teach what you're able. So the Rebbe said that based on the words of the Shalah, we can learn a very powerful lesson for the calling of our time. And this is the Heirah from this mitzvah with regard to those engaging in the dissemination of Torah and of Yiddishkeit. And that should be every one of us. Of course, you have to find an effective way to do it. But we should all be engaged in Vishinantam Luvanecha, teaching others. Luvanecha Yatalmidim. Vishinantam means be a source of influence. And this is how it goes. Kisiv nebayis chadosh. When you build a new home, the Rebbe says, Kasher Adam bein abayis l'Hashem. When you build a home for God. And this proverbial home for God means a locale, a place from which light will emanate. A home base from which you're able to provide positive influence. So you're building a new home. A seviva hachadura ba'irayados. You want to create an environment that's saturated in Torah light, in illumination of Yiddishkeit. And you want, through the dissemination, the spreading, the promulgating of Torah values, of mitzvah observance, you want to affect and achieve kiruv Yehudim la'vien shabbat shemayim. You want to bring your fellow Jews closer to Hashem. It's a responsibility we have. So the Torah comes along and says, v'yasisa ma'ka l'gagech. If you want to be successful at this, you want to build an edifice in Israel per se, you want to build a home, you want to build a base through which you're able to project, so that you're able to reach out, able to make a difference to other people, make sure you have a fence. Olav lahatziv gvulus v'siyogim b'fnei midas ha'gaiva. Then you have to really rein in the notion of your own pridefulness. And interestingly, the Rebbe here notes that in the Eira Teira from the Maggid of Mizrich, it says, mechitza ligagecha. That means, legadlusucha, to your greatness. That your heart should not become prideful. So here you are, you're in the position of being a benefactor. They're lower than you. Either they don't know, or they don't care, and they're not interested, and you do care, and you do know, and you are interested. I'm an important guy. Look at Hashem gave me a position. I'm a benefactor. I'm a lodestar, a leader, a light onto those around me. And a person can start to feel pridefulness. They don't do any mitzvahs. Look how many mitzvahs I do. Look how hard I work. Look how many people I've influenced in a positive way. And a person, it can start get to you.
Can it also have to do, even if it isn't pride, you're trying to convince them and you're overstepping your boundaries? You're pushing them?
Invariably, overstepping boundaries comes because it becomes about ourselves, not about them. When it becomes about us, invariably will make the mistakes. Because then we're not seeing the signs. We're not noticing that they're getting frustrated and it's too much for them. Because we're obsessed with our mitzvah. We're obsessed with our achievement, our accomplishment. But it has to be about them. One of the profoundest pithy statements, I think, from Lev Yitzchak Berditchev is, what is a tzaddik? He said, a tzaddik is a person who brings out tzidkus in others. What do you engender with somebody else? The tzaddik is a person who pulsates with such holiness that every encounter with somebody else, he brings holiness out from the other person. That's a tzaddik. The person...
The lamplighter.
But it's more than just a lamplighter. Lamplighter is an active engaging to light a lamp. The tzaddik, it's natural. It's natural. It's like the opposite of radioactivity. Radioactivity spreads naturally. Right? Because there's a breakdown of the nuclear physics. Anything it comes in contact with, it will trigger a breakdown of nuclear physics. That's where it becomes tainted radioactivity. Anything, radioactivity spreads like wildfire, and it's almost impossible to stop. Right? They have to restrain it. So the tzaddik is radioactive in a positive way. He has reorganized his own quantum physics, if you will. And in his quantum physics, now he's weightless. He's transcended itself entirely. And because the tzaddik is such a person, so anybody who comes in contact with the tzaddik becomes not tainted, but the opposite of tainted. Becomes affected in like fashion. This is, people came to the Rebbe and they just changed. Just a meeting, just looking in the Rebbe's eyes, just a short encounter changed their life. Why? Because you're talking about a person who pulsated with such radiance, such energy, with such holiness, that it necessarily made a difference in others. And going to the oil is the same thing, and according to the great Rishon Rabbeinu Nissan, even more than before. Because it's a place that radiates with holiness. So the point is this. You're building a new edifice, and you're doing all these great things, and it's so easy for it to get to you in a negative way. It's easy for it to become you, for you to start to become prideful. And so, kisivne bayis chadosh, v'yasiso ma'akav. Why? Why should you do this? What's the reasoning that the Torah gives you? Ki yipol hanoifel mimenu. Because the one who is destined to fall will fall. Shekain, he says, Nima seisnasos anilvis ledvarov. When there's even a smidgen of arrogance, of self-importance, of pridefulness that accompanies his words, It will necessarily impact the success of your activities. That's the reason you won't get through to somebody, because it's about you. When it's about you, you won't get through. And va'az ligraim la'ashpa shlilis al shaymin. This can cause not a positive in engagement. This can trigger not something good, but the contrary. This can distance them even furthermore. There are so many encounters people have with, quote unquote, that religious person. And instead of elevating the person, you brought the person down. Because that religious person said such and such, and I don't have anything to do with this. Yeah, you just did a, that's an excuse, you know. You're making up a story because you don't want to be involved. You don't want to work hard. Okay, but that person who negatively influenced still has a role to play. It's like not having a fence. I didn't have a fence, so the person fell. The person was gonna fall. Why does he have to fall on your property? You have to make that fence. And this is why we have the emphasis on Yipel and Neifel. The Rebbe finishes off his rumination by saying that even if that person is a Neifel, even if that person, he's a no-goodnik, and he's a fallen individual, and he's just gonna find an excuse to blame you, and he's gonna fall anyway. That may be, but that's not your business. Your business is to reign in the pridefulness. Your business is that your high places, that your roof should be a place of safety and security, and that we should all be a source of positive energy and of goodness for those around us, not chas v'shalom, the opposite. And so the parapet pedagogy is you're taking out of the roof and the literal idea of safety and security, which are a very important part of our Yiddishkeit and a big mitzvah, and we transfer this into the idea of personality and attitude and how we engage with those around us. And by building that parapet and reining in pridefulness, we're able to be most successful. And hopefully we'll soon come to a time where Yilmidu Ish Eides Re'eyu, we won't have to worry about getting pridefulness or teaching each other, because only Mashiach will teach all of us. And Heido will be Aminu.